This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:18 and this is the evening edition with Lynn and Shamila. And now we're doing a follow-up to a story that we covered last Thursday, actually, which was about our healthcare systems on the brink of collapse, fundamentally, because of COVID-19. And this, actually, I think, you know, has been making the headlines, but one hospital in particular has really brought it home.
So that's the Tengku Ampuan Rahimah Hospital in Klang, right? And they've been struggling with a surge in COVID-19 patients. There have been videos and photos circulating online. And in particular, Klang MP Charles Santiago shared a video on Facebook that showed COVID-19 patients sleeping on camp beds outside of the emergency areas, the lobby filled with patients just resting in a haphazard manner all over the place. The latest update is that the hospital did release a statement, which was yesterday, and they talked about some measures that they've put in place. They've changed the functions of trainee doctors' dormitories, as well as the day treatment complex. They've been turned into temporary wards for COVID patients. Health DG Nur Hisham Abdullah also talked about the ambulatory centre and house officer quarters at all Klang hospitals have been repurposed. However, this continues to be something that many people are worried about, because with numbers not really going down, we worry that this is something we'll just see more and more of.
Yes. So to give us an on-the-ground look, right, at what's actually going on, and to talk about perhaps what's being done, we are going to be hearing from a conversation that happened earlier today in which BFM spoke with Klang MP YB Charles Santiago about the COVID situation in his constituency. So he started off by talking about his observations of the overcapacity problem at the Tengku Ampuan Rahimah Hospital.
I think the capacity of Hospital Tengku Ampuan Rahimah has always been challenged for the last couple of years as a result of lack of funding for the hospital. But I think in recent months, as a result of the overwhelming COVID-19 infections, the emergency department has taken a major beating. I've spoken to doctors who are familiar with the issue and who are quite concerned that, one, that the medical equipment is falling apart, meaning there's a need for new equipment to be brought in. Number two, the medical professionals attending to COVID patients are working from 14 to 16 hours a day sometimes. People are extremely tired and overworked. And number three, the level of morale among some of the staff is also quite low as a result of the long hours. And number two, the number of deaths are also increasing. And I think in the last couple of days, meaning last Wednesday onwards, we saw a major spiral in terms of COVID-19 infections. They had no choice, but started putting out temporary beds outside of the emergency department. Some would say the hospital system is overwhelmed, but I would think it's breaking down.
With that, he spoke about the need for the government to provide a large amount of funds urgently in order to bolster the healthcare system.
I issued a statement on this, and the government committed 1.1 million, but I think it's not enough. Because 1.1 million, you can buy maybe three ventilators or maybe even four. But that's all that you can buy. But I've seen lists that actually you will need more than about 5 or 6 million. And that's only for the emergency department, not the other support services. So I'll ask for 20 million, and I've not heard the government's response on this matter. And I just issued a statement asking for the government to postpone the 5G network worth 11 billion to next year. And I think, yes, we need the 5G network, yes, but I think it can wait for some months. At this time, the priority is saving lives. And I say that because I have two people who just died in from Tengku Ampuan, who died yesterday evening and one this morning. I wrote about this lady in my statements, in the last two statements. She was admitted on Thursday or Friday last week, and she sat in the same chair for almost 2 to 3 days, because there was no bed. And this morning she died. And this is not acceptable. I mean, this is lives that we are talking about. And therefore, every effort must be made to save lives. Just because she comes from a poor family doesn't mean it is less valuable.
Charles also spoke about how the situation affects healthcare for non-COVID patients who may also require urgent medical attention, especially those among the lower income groups.
The Klang GH, or the Tunku Ampuan Rahim Hospital, is the main public hospital in Klang. And it covers a very big area. It covers not only Klang, but also Kapa as well as Kuala Langat. So you have a very big catchment area, so to speak. And therefore, it has always been overwhelmed all the time. But now it has broken. It seems completely broken. But my big concern now is they have converted the hospital as a COVID-19 standalone hospital, which means that people who are coming for with heart attacks, with accidents, and other emergency diseases or sickness will have to go to the private sector. And this is a problem, one, because the P40 people and people generally now do not have access to funds to go to a private hospital. So far, I think, therefore, the government and the private sector has come to some agreement on this, on how B40 people will be treated and what are the charges. And I made a public call asking for the private sector to reduce their charges and also ask the government to absorb some of the charges through tax breaks that could be given to private hospitals in the nearby area.
Next, he talked about the need to ramp up vaccinations quickly and how they're attempting to increase the number of vaccination centres in Klang.
At this time, the focus now is actually on vaccination. Everybody has to be vaccinated, and there's no compromise about that. And I've actually written to Minister Khairi Jamaluddin asking for more PPVs in Klang. At this time, as we speak, I think there will be four. There are three already existing ones, but the capacity each are very small. But the one that they're going to open up today at William Hotel, I think it's got 3,000 to 4,000 or 5,000 capacity. But that is not enough. As I said, we got 1.5 million people, and Klang is the most under-vaccinated place in the entire state of Selangor. So I've been asking for aid, and I've suggested three places where they actually can do it right now. I have the doctors available. I've already spoken to the nurses who can be made available. I'm just waiting for a yes, we can start it. We can work with the hospitals. We can work with the British Medical Association. We can work with people to start it. So we need to ramp up vaccination and testing at the same time. I think this is urgent. This is very, very urgent.
Finally, Charles spoke about the shortcomings of the system, especially the slow rollout of the PIKAS vaccination program for the private sector, and brought up the need to decentralise the vaccination program.
I've talked to many businessmen who are complaining to me, who have applied to PIKAS, but there's no response, not even an acknowledgement that an email has come or a letter has come to provide vaccination for their workers in the dormitories or elsewhere. I think, you know, the government system is not working. I don't know what they will do, but they really have to do something quickly. I think that the situation on the ground is getting worse. When there's so many people who are willing to do it on the ground, who are willing to, you know, use halls, they can use mobile vaccination centres to go into the villages, to go into the kampongs. And Klang has a lot of many kampongs here, especially in Tulagong, as well as in Pulau Indah. I don't know what they're waiting for. Now, I think the system is very centralised. Maybe it should now be brought down at the level of local councils, which are more familiar with the terrain, and they should be able to organise help in the vaccination process.
That was Klang MP Charles Santiago speaking about the COVID-19 situation in his constituency. This is coming, of course, after videos and headlines on Hospital Tengku Ampuan Rahimah, which had COVID-19 patients sleeping on camp beds outside of the emergency area, full lobby. I think just very distressing videos. Just to say that we also covered this last week on Inside Story. You can search for that. It's called Healthcare Systems at Risk of Collapsing. And we spoke about it from the point of view of public hospitals, how private healthcare can contribute, and where else we could be pulling resources. So if you found that interesting, or perhaps if you just want more information on it, that's where you can go. Now, after the 7:30 news today, we have I'm going to leave you, Sharmila, to explain what exactly we have.
Well, of course, because it's a mystery and only I've experienced it in the show. We're on Everyone's a Critic. We're reviewing a murder mystery digital theater performance. It's called Body X Culprit, and it's actually a part of the Georgetown Festival that's currently happening. Very interesting stuff, because generally this is something that would work only in person, but essentially you get to play detective and try and figure out who murdered a patron at a 1980s Kopitiam.
Nice. So that's coming your way after the 7:30 news. As always, keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.